Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Water by God podcast. Okay, Water by God podcast. Yeah, all of that. guys, I'm in such a stance. Okay, I know I always have something when I come on here, but today I'm just. I'm just such in an awe of God's love today. Like, I just feel so overwhelmed by God's love. Like, I just feel so, I don't know, in love with God today. And I just want to pour that to you all on today. And that is what we will be talking about. The greatest command. The greatest command. Basically, loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and our strength, and then loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. That is the greatest command. Look, those are the greatest commands. And so that is what we will be discussing. Y'all know how we get down. We're gonna jump into prayer, but I just want to say a few things. So because I never say like my full introduction how I'm supposed to, which I always let God have his way anyway. So if I forget my introduction, it's just not meant to be said. That's just extra anyway. But I do want to say, like, this podcast is to motivate, encourage, and help everyone. So we all may spiritually grow. And you know, just like the title of this podcast, Water by God, that meant so much to me when I was in preparation for this podcast, just to be watered on by God, that we can pour on others after we grow so that others may grow. And so that's the whole point, right? And so as we're going through this podcast, I realized that I was focusing, right, a lot on those that already are Christians. And so I'm going to tell you all, this is just like a little snippet. I'm going to tell you all that I will be after this, I'm not sure how long this episode, I mean, how long this podcast will last. I'm not sure whatever God says we will go with, how many episodes. But when this is over, when this podcast specifically is over, I will begin another one because I don't want it to stop here anyways. I want to keep going with different things, maybe different ones, and different kinds. But I want to focus on the next one with like strictly those that are new. So the whole point of that podcast will be called something completely different. But it'll still be underwater by God because it'll still be like everything poor. Like that will be the ministry's name, Water by God. But I do want to get into those that are like, girl, I need help. Let's start all the way back over with, okay, Adam and Eve. Let's introduce me, you know, to God. So I want to make sure that we are doing that for those that are baby Christians that don't really know God, that are trying to still understand God, that are fresh. And so we will be doing that. And I told you all for those, if you do know somebody like that, or if you're watching and you're like that and you're like, at least you've been going too fast, I do want to truly apologize. I want to start with that. Apologizing, and I'm going to make sure that you are taken care of, and I hope you've been keeping up this far. So, because I love you all, and I want to love you all with the love of God, and make sure that we are moving, not too fast, but make sure everything is being understood properly. I know sometimes as Christians, we can move so fast and forget about those that aren't Christians or are trying to become Christians. So, I just wanted to begin with that because, like I said, I just woke up feeling the love of God. And as I was preparing to speak, I just felt God's love, and it just reminded me of all of that. So I wanted to say all of that. Amen. But we're gonna be talking about God's love today, y'all. Let's pray, because I just feel the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for your moment, this moment, Father. Ooh, Jesus, I love you. We love you on today, God. I just pray, God, that you forgive us all of every sin, God, knowingly and unknowingly, Lord God. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, God. Shape and mold us, guide us on today, God. We need your love like never before, God. I pray, God, your mighty, outstanding, your most powerful hand to outstretch over your people, God, and hold your people. Wrap them in your love, God. May they feel the love of you, God. And may they feel that through me, God, through my mouth, God, through my gestures, God, and through everyone else's gesture that, Lord God, claims your love and claims your salvation, God. And Father, I just pray you have your way on this podcast, in and through me, God. Nothing of myself, but only you, God. Hide me behind the cross, God. Hide my tongue, hide my thoughts, hide my mind, hide my heart. And God, may your heart speak, God, like never before on this podcast, in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Ghost power, come over this podcast in the mighty name of Jesus. Flow like a rushing wind, God. Speak like never before, God. Flow like never before, God. May a mighty move and a mighty wind of God come on this podcast, because this is your podcast, God, not mine, God. And you know what it meant, God, to say that we will be watered by you, God. Watered with your authority, watered with your power, God. Watered with justice, God. I thank you that justice will be served, and so we don't have to pay a wrong for wrong and a right for right, because we're just being watered by you to do what you have called us to do, God. That we will do, God, right for wrong. Even when we're done wrong, we will do right. And so I thank you, God, that we will love the learn that we will learn the love of you, and we will walk and talk and live by that. And so we give you all the glory, God, and all the honor that is due unto your name. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Amen, 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 amen. So guys, let's hop straight into it. I'm doing something different. I don't know, when I woke up and I started my notes, y'all, I'm telling y'all, God is doing something different on this morning. I woke up, I got into my notes, and I said that I would start with 1 John chapter 4. 7 through 21, but we're going to actually end on that, y'all. All my notes, I've written them out. I'm so tickled, y'all. I'm so tickled because God moves in such a funny way. Like, not like that, not in a bad way, okay? But in a way that's like, you never know what he's going to do. So I'm sitting here thinking, this is the difference between my way and God's way. I'm thinking I'm going to, you know, structure everything out like this. And right when I turned, like right when I turned the camera on, was about to turn the camera on, the Lord spoke and he said, go backwards. Literally, I kid y'all not. He said, he literally told me to do everything backwards. So all my notes, read them backwards. So y'all bear with me. I don't know what this is about. I don't know what that's about. I kind of do. I get the reason and the point, but y'all bear with me if I'm if it's not making sense. I pray the Lord make everything make sense, because it's going to be him speaking. Amen. So let's go ahead and start, y'all. So the first thing that I have, we're going to be coming from Matthew 22, 37, and 40. That's what we're going to start with. And it says in the New Century Version, Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and most important command. And the second command is like the first. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And all the law, the writings of the prophets depend on these two commands. So y'all, I want to start with saying, if you ever questioned, where do I start with my relationship with God? If you ever questioned, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, how do I know I'm not sinning? How do this, how do that? Asking all these questions, right? This is the first command. This is the first command. This is going to carry you. It said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And so let me tell you, that will withstand, that will allow you to withstand and withhold onto everything. Everything else comes after that. And so it clearly tells us all the law and the writings of the prophets depend on these two commands alone. Everything else, everything that we know as Christians, and maybe those that don't know as baby Christians, everything, I'm letting you all know, everything comes from those two things. Why? Because if we can master loving God, everything else will be added. Because if God gets access to your whole heart, the rest of your life will follow after. And so many times we say we've mastered the love of God, but we have not, because it shows in the way that we treat other people. How we treat people shows if you really have mastered the love of God. And so something that I want to be speak about today, excuse me, I don't know if that makes sense. Something that I want to speak about today, and let me get my notes together, y'all. I heard a pastor, I think I've told y'all this before. Uh-oh, my notes is all in the camera. I think I told y'all this before that intimacy, I'm sorry, I'm reading my notes. It's going to be talking about intimacy, but I told y'all before that Pastor Jerry Flowers is somebody that I listen to often. I believe I told y'all that. If not, I'm telling y'all that now. Pastor Jerry Flowers, I love listening to his sermons because they're so real, right? He doesn't hold anything back. He speaks like with truth and like sound doctrine. And so I always take like little notes from him. But something that he said that really stood out was intimacy. And catch this, y'all. I'm going to say it slow. Intimacy leads to pregnancy. Pregnancy affects your appetite. Pregnancy affects your sleep. Pregnancy affects your walk. Pregnancy leads to birth. Then it becomes a lifestyle. And I'm going to break all of that down. All of that down. Every single thing. And so I say that to say, loving God is a relationship. And y'all, this is part one, because the Lord also told me when I begin to write my notes, we're going to do a part two, because there's so much that you could talk about when it comes to the love of God. So this is going to be like basically focusing on how we can love God. And then the next one, the part two, we're going to flow from the starting at the end of this podcast into the next. But the part two will be focusing on how to show that love for God to God's people, and so how to love God's people. But this one is going to be basically how to love God the way that God loves us or sees us, the way he sent his son Jesus for our sins. That's love. That is what love is. But first, relationship. So the love of God is talking about relationship. Everything is just like a relationship when it comes to God, because God is relationship. A lot of people say this all the time. God is not religion. He's relationship. But what does that mean? That means we actually have to show that. We actually have to show, okay, if we're saying that God is relationship, then why are we treating him as if we're not in relationship? And we all know, right? We have, as a generation, we have normalized what we think and what we think the concept of a relationship is, and we have it all twisted, we have it all wrong, all backwards. And so we treat God how we have normalized that concept of how we think love is, and it's all wrong, right? We're treating God, and actually we treat our relationships better than we treat God, which doesn't make sense, because your relationships with man will not work, or with, you know, whoever you're dating will not work if you don't have the love of God, right? Because to know love is to know God, and to know God is to know love. But if you don't know one, then you don't know the other. It's just that simple. You cannot have one and not have the other. It won't work like that, if that makes sense. So going back to what I was saying, intimacy leads to pregnancy. Pregnancy affects your appetite. I'm going to stop right there, because that was a mouthful all by itself. So we know intimacy, right? Let's talk natural first and then in the spirit. So when we all get into a relationship, we love to be intimate with whoever our person is, right? Or maybe you don't. Everybody's different, but let's talk about intimacy. So intimacy, you know, maybe you like to be around that person. You like all these different gestures. You want to spend like all that time with this person. You want them to take you out. You want them to buy you these things. You want them to spend time with you. You want them to love on you, you know, wrap their arms around you, hold on to you, maybe, you know, kiss on you, whatever that is, whatever that looks like. We ain't even going to spend too much time on it, okay? But you know your own definition of what intimacy looks like, right? And so intimacy leads to pregnancy. We talking real today. We going to talk real, y'all. We're not going to hold nothing back. We just gonna lay it all on the counter, because I believe if you're watching this, you're on a walk of developing truly and truth, right? So we're not gonna fake anything. We're gonna talk real, because the generation knows real. I would hope so, right? Okay, so let's talk real. Intimacy leads to pregnancy. We know what that means. Pregnancy affects your appetite. So when you're pregnant, right, you can't eat everything. The doctors, well, some of us do anyway, right? I know someone told me, well, I did this while I was pregnant. I did that while I was pregnant. And it doesn't always mean you do the right thing, but what you're supposed to do is do what the doctors tell you. That goes for natural and spirit now. So as far as the appetite changing, the doctors, I've never been pregnant, so I don't know what doctors tell you, but I do know the appetite changes. Maybe they tell you something like, you need to eat this so that your baby is healthy, and make sure you're eating your vegetables, right? The obvious. I do know that, the obvious. They tell you, don't drink, right? And recently, someone just told me, well, if you drink, that you have to drink in moderations. I don't know how true that is. Maybe that is true, maybe that isn't. Not moderations, but like, I guess once every so often, so that it's better than withdrawal. I don't know. I was just told that. I don't know. I don't know how true that is, but let's focus on appetite. Okay. Those things won't be good for you. Even if you think they are, they won't, right? So you have to change your appetite. Now let's talk about it in the spirit. When you grow your relationship with God and you love God so much, and you begin to change your appetite for the Lord, that is love. Because you know at that point, you can't afford to feed everything to your spirit. Everything doesn't deserve to be fed to you because you are carrying something inside of you. So if you are carrying something, you have to be feeding it the right things that will nourish it. When you're carrying the Lord and you're carrying the cross, you have to make sure that what you're feeding it, come on, y'all, what you're feeding it will allow it to live and not die. Because we was talking about this in Bible study. When you have a seed, right, you can plant a seed down in the ground and the seed die before it even is able to grow. Hear me when I say this. When it comes to gardening, right, you can plant a seed down, but you still have to water that seed. You still have to feed that seed, because if not, that seed will stay in the ground and it won't even come up, which means it was dead before it was even able to become alive. Do you hear what I'm saying? So when you're reading the word and you're gaining this relationship with the Lord, you have to make sure that if you're carrying something, if you have a seed, I don't care if it's the size of a, what they say, a mustard seed, okay? You have to make sure that what you're carrying is being fed properly, because if not, it will never grow up out of you. It will stay planted, and actually it will die before it even came alive. Your relationship with God will not grow like it needs to because you are not feeding it. So be careful what you're feeding yourself. Be careful the people that are speaking to you. Be careful. Every prophetic word is not prophetic. Every doctrine is not sound doctrine. Every therapy is not always a sound doctrine, spiritual therapy session. So be careful what you are feeding yourself. Be careful to what you are listening to on YouTube. Every word is not for you. So don't scroll and like everything, because here we are saying to ourselves, oh, I'm seeing this so much on my feed. I'm seeing this so much on Instagram. I'm seeing this so much on TikTok. This must be a sign. Understand, y'all, they say it's the method of the phone, right? The method of, I forgot what they call it specifically. But when you spend so much time on something on your phone, of course you're going to see more of it, because you're spending time feeding yourself with that. That is not a sign. That is what you are thirsting after. And so what are you thirsting after? What are you anxious for? What are you hungry for? What is your appetite looking like? What are you being intimate for? Okay. You saying this is a sign when you force that sign upon you. Instead, when all the godly stuff and all the stuff you needed to listen to, all the videos that were saying let go and let God, all the videos that were saying let go of that person, you were scrolling past, right? Because you wanted to hear what you wanted to hear. or everything that was saying, move on. They don't need you. You don't need them. They treated you bad. Treat them like this. This is love. This is what love is supposed to look like. You was feeding into that. You was scrolling and keeping on that, right? Leaving it on that. And so now you keep seeing it. And so now you're believing, you're telling yourself, you see all these videos saying drop out of school, school wasn't for you. Or you're seeing the videos that saying stay in school, but God has called you, y'all. This is why you have to be careful what you're listening to. You will get so confused in the words that you are hearing and the words that people are telling you, because all because of your appetite. But when you're pregnant, you have to be careful on what you are intaking. Okay, now pregnancy affects your sleep. So we know when you're pregnant, it's uncomfortable, right? It may be uncomfortable. You got this big old belly, you're tossing. Okay, you got a little kick. You may feel your baby kicking. It may be hurting you, right? So now when you sleep, you may not get all the sleep that you need because you're feeling all this stuff in your stomach. You're tossing to and from in the bed. Okay, so what am I saying? It's because you're carrying something bigger than you. You're carrying something. It might not be physically bigger than you, and maybe it is, but you're carrying something inside you. So you have to be mindful what is inside of you. Even when you sleep, if God wakes you up, let's talk about spiritually now. If God wakes you up out of your sleep, there is a reason for it. Why? Because pregnancy affects your sleep. What you're carrying affects your sleep. If the Lord woke you up, you have to know it is to pray. It is to fast. It is to do something. Something. You don't just wake up and look at the ceiling and say, I'm up. No, you're up for a reason. You're up because the devil is doing something. Y'all, I seen a post. It said, how can we be part-time Christians if the devil is full-time? He's a full-time demon. And here we are being part-time Christians. We can't afford that. If anything, we should be going into overtime, okay? We should be going into, what do you call it? I can't think of what it's called. I think not overtime, but it's something else that I'm trying to say. But if you get what I'm saying, you get what I'm saying, okay? We should be going past that. Why? Because pregnancy affects your sleep. And so when God is trying to place something on your heart for you to understand something, understand that it's because he's trying to get your attention. So we can't take those moments for granted when we're awake and we're angry at God, or we're angry and we're taking it out on other people because we're not getting a proper sleep. No, that means do something about it. What are you going to do about it? And not in a way that's bad, but in a way that's fruitful. What are you going to do when the Lord wakes you up? Pray. It doesn't matter if you had a bad dream. You should be praying about that bad dream that woke you up, honestly, to the point where now you angry with the devil. Okay, devil, you sent a bad dream. Oh, I'm finna come in on your head, okay? I'm about to do everything that I can to make you mad because you done made me mad. You done took my sleep. And so now I'm finna wake up and I'm finna go 10 times harder on you. Maybe it's because you had pain in your body. Wake up and pray. You may have felt sick. Wake up and pray. You may have felt like an anxiety attack coming. Wake up and pray. You may hear your parents arguing, something going on. Somebody got into a car accident. Wake up and pray. Understand what you woke up for is not just for yourself. It's because somewhere around you, somewhere in Chicago, somewhere in Colorado, somewhere in Washington, somewhere in Detroit, somewhere in China, somewhere, okay, down the line, whether that's in your hometown, in your household, in your body, or in a whole nother different continent, something is going on, okay? Something is going on. So therefore, we are to pray without ceasing, even if that means you got to wake up out your sleep to be alarmed on what is going on in the spirit. You have to be spiritually aware of what is taking place around you. It's not about what you physically see going on. It may be nothing going on when you wake up. But understand that something in the spirit is always going on. Everything is a spiritual battle. Everything is spiritual in this world. We just have the physical aspects of it because God allowed us to be placed here physically. But there is something always spiritually going on. All right, so now, pregnancy affects your walk. This was so good, y'all. This all of this was good. But pregnancy affects your walk. Y'all know that little walk that pregnant women have. It's a little wobble, right? They wobble with their bellies poked out. Wobble with their bellies poked out. Okay? And so they walk with care, with caution, knowing that they have another human being inside of them. Your walk with God, let's talk about it spiritually. Your walk with God should be with care, with caution, because you're carrying something else inside of you. So this is not a fast race. This is not who can be saved or who can be delivered the fastest. This is not who can get to heaven the fastest. This is not who can wear the most modest clothes the fastest. This is not about who can drop off the most friends the fastest. This is not who can get their godly or kingdom marriage the fastest. This is not who can start a family the fastest. This ain't that. This is, okay, my walk with God is going to be slow. It's going to be cautious. It's going to be careful. Because I know within my mind, okay, that I got to be careful with my walk. I can't just rush this. This is not something that you just wake up and say, I'm going to do. No, this is something that you have to think through and say, for God, I'm going to live, and for God, I'm going to die, or for God, I'm not even going to play with it. You got to make up your mind. And so if it's going to be for God, I live, for God, I die, that means every thought needs to be thought carefully. I need to see, where am I going to go today? Let me think about it carefully. Who am I going to entertain with my mouth? Let me think about it carefully. What conversations am I going to entertain today? Let me think about it carefully. What am I going to wear today? Let me think about it carefully. I ain't going to put on this little mini skirt today. Can't do that. Matter of fact, let me throw it away. Throw it out the window. I ain't going to wear this crop top today. I have an assignment of the Lord today. Let me think about it carefully. I'm not going to, you know, speak with the urgency because I'm mad, because I know, okay, out of the heart, the mouth will speak, and I'm angry right now, so let me not say anything. Let me be careful. Let me be mindful. That little trend that was going on, very mindful, very demure. Okay, it was a lot of people saying that, and they weren't living that. They weren't living that. So be mindful. Be mindful what you are doing. This walk is, I won't say just necessarily slow, because, you know, do things with an urgency, but do not rush them. Do things knowing that your life depends on it, but don't rush them because your life depends on it. I don't know who needs to hear that, but don't rush things. Know that your life depends on it, but don't rush it, because at that point it will be rushed and it won't be effective anymore. It will only be, oh, I need to do it. I need to get this done. I need to get this done. But whatever you do, you got to do it 100%. You can't half do it. You have to do it making sure that you're putting your all into it. And if you can't put your all into it, don't do it at all. Period. That's the relationship with God that you got to have. Don't do it at all if you don't have your whole heart in it. Make sure that when it comes to God, you're putting your whole heart in it. So pregnancy affects your walk. You cannot walk everywhere. You cannot talk and say anything. You cannot just do what you want to do. Now, being a Christian, you have freedom. You have freedom to do whatever you want to do. So I don't understand why, you know, people always say, you can't do this, you can't do that. No, understand, you have free will. I'm able to do what I want. This is a song, too. I can't remember how the lyrics go, but, you know, I'm able to do what I want, but I choose not to. Okay? I wish I knew that song, y'all. Y'all probably know the song that I'm talking about. It's right here on the tip of my tongue, but I cannot say it. I cannot think of it. The song that I'm thinking of right now is "You Say Be Still in the Way." Yeah, that song. But that's not the song that I'm talking about. But anyway, nevertheless, pregnancy affects your walk. Pregnancy leads to birth. So when you're pregnant, that means that you should be birthing something. Something should be coming up out of you. A pregnant woman is pregnant for 9 months, okay? They're not pregnant for 14 months, 15 months, 20 months, a whole 5 years. they're not pregnant for that long. So why is it as Christians we're carrying this seed for 5 to 10 years? We're carrying the seed for a whole year. We're carrying this seed for longer than we should. At some point, it's going to have to be birthed up out of you. We can't say we carrying the fruit of the spirits or, you know, walking in the things of God and it's not showing. We say it's inside of us, but if it was really inside of us, why isn't it coming out? Why isn't it growing? Why isn't something being done? Why isn't something being shown? So two things, either that seed is dead, as we previously stated, or it was never there to begin with. Because you weren't watering, you weren't tending to it. You were neglecting it. You were abusing it. You were forgetting about it. You knew it was there, but you didn't care to tend to it. And so that's neglect. Sometimes we can neglect God, and that's not relationship. That's not love. We're talking about the love of God, y'all. How to love God correctly, the right way. And so when you're intimate, you will spend time with your person, with your relationships. And so if you don't, what happens? People end up breaking up. If you don't spend time with your significant other, you end up breaking up. If you don't spend time with your parents or your children, it ends up somewhere being a division somewhere. If you don't spend time with your family members, your friends, if you don't call your friends or check on your friends or spend time with your friends may feel some type of way. All these different signs of relationships and friendships. We care so much about that, but here we are neglecting God. And so intimacy with God means we're spending the necessary time. It is not a force. You know, and maybe some of you do go through a force of having to love your partners or your relationship with other people, your friendships, but it shouldn't be, nothing should be forced if it's love. If it's love, it should be coming out of the heart. So now that's another issue. If it is being forced and you feel forced to love somebody, that's another problem. That's not love. So now what is love is you doing things just because you want to. You waking up and praying just because you want to, not because you have to, not because this is a rule, not because they tell you when you go to church you need to pray. This is not a command, okay? This not the love part, because loving is a command. But you doing all these things for the Lord, reading your Bible and all those, that shouldn't be something that's forced. That should be because you love God. You want to be intimate with him. You want to make sure you're spending the necessary time that is due to him, giving back what is due to him. And so he's a big and mighty God. And so it's not like we can just physically give him things. And you know, back in the old days, they used to sacrifice things. But when Jesus came, that wasn't necessary. But we still need to sacrifice things in the spirit. And what does that look like? Sacrificing time. Sacrificing how you look. Sacrificing what you say. Sacrificing where you go. That's the sacrifice. Sacrificing sin. And saying, for God, I'm going to live. And for God, I will die. I will not spend time out at this club until morning, to the point where I don't even have the right mind to pray at night, to pray over myself. I'm so drunk, I can't pray. My God, I'm so high, I can't pray. I'm so in love, I forgot to pray. I'm so, you know, focused on social media and everybody else's lifestyle of how they do things, I forgot my own lifestyle. You cannot do that. You have to make sure that you're focused on your own relationship. Do not neglect your relationship with God. So after you've having the baby, right? After women have had the baby, now it's take time to take care of the baby. It becomes a lifestyle. And so when you have a lifestyle with God, you have to make sure that you're taking care of that seed that has now become something, that has now become a relationship. And so you can't neglect what has now become something. When you get into a relationship, before the relationship, it was a talking stage, or it should have been, right? For a while, maybe for a few days, everybody's different. But you started somewhere. And when it became something, you had to take it more serious. You had to protect it. You had to hold on to it. You had to cherish it. You had to tend to it. It's the same thing with God. before it became something, you may not, you know, have known it as well. So you had to get to know it. And then when it became something, now you know it. Now you know how to treat it. You should know how to treat it. And if you don't, it's going back to neglect. But love on God and do things the right way. This wasn't an episode today to just, you know, get into all these different good things to say. This is just talk, y'all. I really wanted to just talk because I felt so at peace. God really wants us to just love on him and know what that love looks like. So if this episode is boring you, I truly do apologize, but this is something that we need to master. God's love, it's so, people make this sound so cliche, right? So normal. And we always say this, but a lot of people really don't know what that love looks like. They don't know how to tend to that love. They don't know how to love God. And loving God is just simply in your actions, simply in what you do for him and loving his people. If you don't love his people, you don't love him, but we're going to get into that. So you have to be committed, not just interested for a relationship. Same thing with God. When it comes to God, you have to be committed. Yes, you can want, you can desire a relationship, but you have to be committed. After you decide that that's what you want, be committed. Because only commitment is going to withhold and stand love, real love. And so, yes, you can be committed to things, but if you don't have the real love in that commitment, it's still going to fail. And it won't be fruitful. Why? Because you ever seen people that have had children and they still decide to be committed, but they're not really committed. They decided to stay together, but they're not really together. Because how can two be together except they agree? So if you don't agree and if you're just saying you're committed, but what does commitment look like? That means you're upholding one another. You're talking to one another with respect. You're talking to one another with love, with sound doctrine. You're holding each other up with the love of God. That's the difference. And so when you're doing that with real love, with the love of God, and you have commitment, oh, at this point, you've mastered it. You've mastered it. But none of us have gotten to that point. And I'll tell you why. Because if we did, then we wouldn't be on this earth. We have to learn to master everything. And when God says we've done our portion, we've done all that we know how to do, and he is pleased, then hey, I want to get to that point where God is so pleased with me. I mean, he finds no fault. We all should be striving to get to that point, but we have to make sure that we're committed and not just interested. Don't just be interested in a Christian life. Don't just be interested in the way that you pray and the way that you look at things. You know, I used to get so caught up in looking at social media, and I used to be so interested in how, like, Proverbs women, they get up, they pray. And I used to watch all these videos, right, and see, like, this is how you're supposed to do it. And when I heard people pray, this is how I used to think, y'all. I used to be like, I need to pray like that. And maybe you're that same person, right? But you cannot do that because your commitment, your relationship is going to come from your own commitment with God. And you can't just be interested in what you're seeing with your physical eyes, because your physical eyes can fool you. Their relationship can look like one thing with God, with your eyes, but in the inside, behind the scenes, their relationship may not be that with God. They may not be committed. They're committed to social media. They're committed to making a paycheck. They're committed to doing things the way that humans see, but they're not committed to God behind closed doors. When they turn that camera off, they forget all about God. When they turn that camera off, they don't sing another song. They don't sing another hymn. When they turn that sound recorder off, they don't even know how to pray. They don't even know how to, love on God, speak to God. And so you can't be committed to somebody else's commitment. You can't be committed to somebody else's commitment. What does that mean? You can't be committed to somebody else's interest. You can't be interested in somebody else's commitment. It's just that simple. Because their commitment will become your commitment, which really isn't the commitment. I know that was a whole lot that was just said, but I'm going to say it again. Their commitment will become your commitment, which really isn't the commitment that you need. And both of it is going to end up failing because it was based off sandy ground and not a firm foundation. So we're moving on, y'all. We're moving on. Real love makes you do crazy things, right? Y'all ever heard them say, love make you do crazy things. Love make you become a crazy person, right? That's in the flesh. But that's also in the spirit. Love will make you do some crazy stuff when you really love God. Real love will make you do crazy things to the point where people questioning you. Wow, how did you do that? You know, I told them on yesterday at my church, I said I had this one girl that watches me at my job. And she loves me, right? I'm like one of her favorite people that work there. But when she's mad or when she wants to, well, I won't even say mad. Sometimes she just does things to see what I'm going to say. And she'll say, Miss Lisi, you're not my favorite counselor. Miss Lisi, I actually don't like you. Miss Lisi, this, that, and the third, right? And I look at her and I laugh and I go, okay. Okay. And she'll say, Miss Lisi, why do you respond like that? Like, why are you saying that? Like, you're supposed to be angry. Or when I say something mean, why do you say something nice? That's weird. And it showed me right then and there, this is how we should be acting towards people our age. Our age or even older. You know, when people do something to us, our response should be something good. That is what our response should be. Love will make you, love for God will make you do crazy things to the point where people question you. Why do you act like that? I just cussed you out. Why are you telling me you love me? I just cussed you out. Why are you acting so nice towards me? Y'all ever seen like movies that somebody treated another person so bad, but in the end, the good person ended up blessing the bad person. The bad person was so confused. Yeah, that is how we're supposed to be in real life. In real life, y'all, that is what real love looks like, the love of God, to where your management can say something to you and you like, God bless you. Now they're confused. This is why blessings come from you just being obedient to God's love. And that is why that is the greatest command, because when you're able to love God with your whole heart and with your whole mind and with your whole soul, you will learn to do things correctly and not the way that the world does them. You don't have to do a wrong for wrong. We live in such a generation where they think you got to pay a wrong for wrong. And you are cursed after that, because at that point, and I won't necessarily say cursed for a long time, but God is not pleased when you do things like that. And that is not to say that, you know, all these bad things just happen, but we cause bad things on ourselves, like to ourselves, when we're disobedient. Disobedience, all disobedience is sin, and sin leads to death. And so when you're disobedient to loving God's people correctly, that's sin. Why? Because the Bible tells us this is the greatest command, to love God first with all your heart, mind, and soul. And then to love your neighbor as you love yourself. But we're not even loving ourselves, so we can't even love God's people the right way. And so we need help. We need help to know what love is, what real love is. So, y'all, we live in such a generation like that. Let's live and let's strive to be different from this generation. We don't want to say this is our generation. I truly don't. I hate saying it. I like saying I want to be the generation that God has called for, not this generation that just is so dependent on treating people how you treat them or they believe in karma. No, no, ma'am, and no, sir. I believe in a God that is just and that will, okay, move on my behalf, because he is a righteous God. He is a just God. He will make everything, he will make everything fall in line. We don't have to worry about anything. But if God gets access to our whole heart, then everything else will fall in line with our life. So loving God, let's break this part down. Loving God with all your heart means you will value God's feelings. Ask yourself, do you value God's feelings so much that you will not sin? That's what loving God with all your heart. We have to love God and move on the behalf of knowing, I don't want to hurt God's feelings. I don't want to do this. I don't want to pick up this drink because I know it's going to hurt God's feelings. I don't want to talk to this person because I know it's going to hurt God's feelings. I know that God brought them or took them away from me for a reason. So I need to be careful on what I do. I don't want to mistreat this person because I know it's going to affect God, because that's God's child as well. I don't want to do that. I want to hurt God's feelings. I don't want to get so angry and sin because it's going to hurt God's feelings. I don't want to do this and be this person if God is calling me to be this person. I don't want to become a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer if God has called me to become a preacher or to speak and do the gospel. I don't want to drive past the homeless every day if I know God has called me to bless the homeless. That's going to hurt his feelings if I'm just doing stuff like that. I don't want to speak against my neighbor if I know God is calling me to love my neighbor as I love myself. That is the love that we need to have in our heart. That is what loving God with all your heart means. You will love him by being affectionate with him. You will spend time with him. Just like you do in a relationship, you will spend time with the Lord. Loving God with all your soul means you understand love is beyond emotion. Love is beyond you being angry. So that means you will not always get angry at God when something happens your way or doesn't happen your way. We should not be moved by our emotions. Our relationship with Christ should not be moved on based off how we feel. That is not steady. That is not firm. That will not last. That is not love. Based off your emotions, just because you feel like it, just because you feel like loving today, but tomorrow you don't. Yesterday you did, but today you don't. That is not love. Love is not based off how you feel. This person made you mad. Now I don't want to love them. Now I don't want to talk to them. Now I don't want to pray for them anymore. That's not love, y'all. That's not love. And that's not loving God. Because how you act towards God, people, is how you love God. And how people see your love is how they see your God. Imagine. The same way you're representing God is the same way. The same way they see you is the same way they're going to see God. The same way they see your love is the same way they're going to see God's love. The same way they see your characteristics is the same way they're going to see God's characteristics. How they know you is how they're going to know your God. So we want to make sure we're exemplifying everything the way that God wants us to. Love is a lifestyle. And so you should not let love make you. You should be the love. Don't let your emotions make you to the point where love made you and now you're basing your love based off everything else around you. But if everything else around you, if you have real love and everything else around you was wrong, you're going to be right. You're going to show the love. You have become the love. Why? Because Jesus is love. Jesus became the love. And if we're Christians and if we're going to be Christ-like, we too have to become that same love. We have to become that. Don't just say you love somebody out of your mouth. Don't just say you love God. And we sing the song, I love you, Jesus. But you have to become that love. Be that love. Be a walking heart. Be a walking, I won't say emotion. It's not about emotion. I just said that, right? But I say be a walking love, if that makes sense. Walking love. Walk in love. And so make sure that you're exemplifying the love of God. It has to be inside of you. You have to carry it, live it, be it. Loving God with your strength means you are not willing. Excuse me. Loving God with all your strength means you are willing to love God regardless of the cost and the pain. Y'all know if you ever want something so bad, you'll go buy it within seconds, minutes, quick, on the phone or in the car, ready to go get it. Whether that's food or whether that's designer things, whatever that looks like for you, that's the same thing with God. When you love God with all your strength, even when you don't have physical strength, you still have spiritual strength. That's the love of God. Even if my body is saying no, my strength is saying yes. My spiritual strength is saying yes. Even when my body is declining its medicine and my body is declining health, guess what? My spiritual strength is accepting it. We don't want to base our life off of the rejection of what we go through in a physical aspect. We want to make sure that we're accepting everything in the spiritual, because the Bible did not promise us everything is going to be okay in the natural anyway. But in the spirit, our spirit is always willing or should be willing. So we cannot base our strength based off what our physical strength is, because it may not always be there. Physical strength won't always be there, but what will be there is spiritual strength. Spiritual strength. The Lord, the joy of the Lord will always give you strength, always. And even if you don't have joy in the world, you can always count your joy in the Lord. And that doesn't always mean that you're going to smile. What does the joy of the Lord looks like? That means sometimes it's going to look like suffering because you take joy in the Lord and not in the physical aspect of it. I think we sometimes get that confused. We think that the joy of the Lord looks like a smile and proud and everything is okay. No, the joy of the Lord looks like, you know what? I'm carrying my cross. It's weighing me down. But I love the Lord so much that I'm going to take joy in it. My joy may not be with a smile, but I have joy in my spirit. My God, I have, oh, y'all, I have joy in my spirit. You can't tell. You may not see it, but I have joy in my spirit knowing that everything is going to be all right. No matter how heavy this cross is, no matter how hard my pain is, no matter how broken my heart is, my physical heart, my spiritual heart is willing to love people correctly, to love people regardless of the words. We don't want to have a love that's just moved to and from based off what people say. But you want to have a love that regardless of what anybody say, it stands firm. It's solid, right? That is the love that we're aiming for. So that is the love or the strength that the love of God calls for, okay? It means regardless of what you go through, you won't throw in the towel because you love God just that much. Loving God with all your minds, with all your mind, means you respect his wishes and actions, even if they don't make sense to you. That is what loving God with all your mind means. So a lot of times we try to make sense out of it, right? We try to say, wait a minute, that don't make sense. So God, if this is that, and that is this, then why is that and this? And God is like, it wasn't for you to understand. Everything God does is way bigger than this. It's bigger than this world. Imagine he made the world. He made everything. So if he made everything, everything is not going to make sense because it's too big. It's too much for us to process. Some people sit and they try to think how life after life is going to work. That is beyond you, baby. That ain't going to work. You're not going to be able to process that. Literally, quite frankly, because it's not for you to understand. It's not for you to understand, but just know trusting God means I don't even have to worry about it. I just know it's going to work out. I don't even have to know how I'm going to get the house. I just have to know I'm going to get the house. I don't have to know how I'm going to get to the other side. I just know I'm going to get to the other side. I don't know how my body is going to be healed, but I just know that my body is going to be healed. I don't know how I'm going to get my marriage or when my marriage is going to come, but I know I'm going to get it because God said it. I don't know when I'm going to get this baby. I'm going to be able to conceive, but I know that the Lord promised me that I'm going to conceive. I don't know. I don't know what heaven looks like, but I know that there's a God who sits up high and looks down low. Therefore, there is a heaven. And so we base even this how we think if God is real or not. And the Bible talks about how we simply know God is real because of how we live, what we see on a daily basis. We're walking, we're breathing, we're living. That alone lets us know that there's a God. There is a God, one true and living God. That's it. That's all there is to it. There's not more than one. If you make one, the Bible tells us not to, but we make our little G-O-Ds. And this is why it is so important, so disrespectful not to put G-O-D on the G-O-D. Little G-O-Ds. If that's a little G-O-D, it's a little G-O-D. But do not lowercase the big G-O-D because there's so much volume in him. We can't process it all. He's too big. He's that guy. Okay, he is that. And so we have to make sure that to love God with all our mind, we're not trying to understand. Everything is not to be understood. There's a reason why we don't know or we can't see everything. Yes, we walk in light when we walk in the things of God, but there's only so much that light will expose, because if you see everything, you won't go that way. If the Lord just shines a bright light in front of you, and you see that big old giant, you won't go towards that giant. You're going to be scared. You're going to start doubting and start saying, well, I don't know, Lord, how am I? But if you're able to see so much, see so little, and you walk and you walk and you keep going, and you trust in God, you can't see, but God, I know you're with me. And then you get to that giant, and you may have doubt then, but at that point, it's too late to turn around. It's too late to turn around. Your promise is on the other side of that giant. So now God is going to, after all that walking, you should have learned some things. And now at that point, when you get to that giant, you're able to kill that giant. The God that we serve is able to slay that giant dead in front of you. And so that is why he can't just allow everything to be so bright and so full of light, because sometimes we have to walk in the darkness to get to the light. Amen. So moving on from that. Okay, moving on from that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. We're almost done, y'all. 1 Corinthians 13, 7 and 8. Love patiently accepts all things. It always trusts, always hopes, and always endures. Love never ends. I'm going to stop right there. So, if it tells us that love patiently waits, that means loving God means you're going to wait on whatever it is that he's trying to give to you. You're going to wait on him. You're not going to force it. You're not going to go look for your own. You're not going to try to solve problems yourself. That's what loving God is. That's another portion of loving God, is when you're patiently waiting. That's another portion of when you're loving in the relationship that God blessed you with, is when you're patiently waiting on your partner. You're being patient with them. You're not just forcing them to do things. You're not always getting angry with them. You're being patient with them. But we're going to talk about that in part two, because I want to make sure it's a clear distinction, I want to say, between the two. Okay, so you're not getting it too confused. To love God, this is a whole different thing. To love God's people is a whole different thing. They're going to fall back under the same thing, which is just love in general. Loving God is going to all go back to just loving God. But that's why we're breaking the two down, because loving God is going to help you love other people. Loving God is going to help you do anything. Okay, that comes with, you know, knowing not to sin. Just loving God because you just love God, and so you're not going to sin because you love God. Loving God goes really far, y'all. I'm telling y'all, it really does. So love patiently accepts all things. What does that mean? That means you're going to accept every trial and tribulation that the Lord gives you, or that the Lord allows. And that everything that the devil does, you have to know that it has to get approved by God. And so if it got approved by God, it's only to make us stronger, not to weaken us, not to kill us, but to only make us stronger. And so that means you're going to accept it if you love God. I know that sounds harsh in a way, but you have to, because it's to help you. It's not to harm you. But if you love God, you're going to understand that. If you love God, you're going to know that this life comes with a cost. Why? Because Jesus' life came with a cost. It came with a price to pay. And he paid that, and he paid it well. He paid it in full, which is why we can live the life that we can live to this day. And why the Lord has so much mercy on us, have so much mercy on our souls. So we have to make sure that we are walking in that same love and being patient with all things. It always trusts. If you find yourself not trusting in God, then maybe you need to check your love for him. Always hopes. If you find yourself being shifted by the hopes of other people and not by the hopes that you have in the Lord, you need to check your love for God. If you find, it says always endures. If you find yourself not enduring in things, and you find yourself giving in and throwing in the towel, you need to question your love for God. Because it says trust, hopes, and always endures, and patiently accepts all things. And so, yes, it doesn't feel good, but we have to do it. We have to do it if we love God. And so this is not a thing that I can just say and you get it. It doesn't work like that. You have to go through something on your own to see what that love looks like. God will pick you up and turn you around, okay? And he will show you what that love looks like. And the only way to do that, y'all, is for you to go through something. I know what you're going through doesn't always feel good, but you will not know who God is if you don't go through nothing. The only way for him to show you what that love looks like, for you to know that love. See, we pray, and this is why they say be careful what you pray for. But I say, you don't got to be careful. You got to be bold. Be bold in what you pray for. Because what you want is what you want. And if you pray for it, that's what you really want. You just don't want the consequences of what that come with. But be bold in what you stated. Stand on it. Okay? Because if you ask for love, and if you ask for God to show his love, the only way for him to show you that he loves you, and sometimes it's, you know, that harsh love, but it's still that good love, is for you to go through something for him to pick you up and rub you on your back, say everything gonna be all right. That is the love of God. That is the true love of God. That way, when you see your brother and sister in Christ going through something, you can pick them up and you can rub on their back and say everything is gonna be all right. Y'all see how that works? When you learn the love of God, then you're able to help somebody else. But until then, you will continue treating people the way that you don't want to be treated. The way that God never intended for you to be treated. But because you don't know his love, you will continue treating people like that. Love never ends. You have people sometimes they walk away from their relationship with God because they never loved God in the first place. They didn't know what love was. They allowed their trials and tribulations to end up shifting the way they thought or their perspective on God. So now they don't care nothing about God anymore. And this is very dangerous. You can't turn your back, because if you turn your back, then that means you was never forward. If you turn your back on God, your back was turned on him to begin with, because you didn't realize what you were getting yourself into to begin with. But when you love God all the way, when your back was turned to begin with, and you turn around and you seek God with your face and with your whole heart, and you seek his face and not his hand, and you know God and see God for yourself, then you can understand his love. Then you can help somebody else understand his love. Then they can help somebody else understand his love. And that is the purpose of our purpose on this earth, is to show each other God's love, that God may get the glory in everything. All right, y'all, got one more scripture and we're going to move on. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. The kind of sorrow God wants makes people change their hearts and lives. This leads to salvation, and you cannot be sorry for that. But the kind of sorrow the world has bring death. And so that lets us know that is also the love of God. The love of God that will bring salvation. That sorrow, that repentance. When you love God, you'll change. You'll do better. And so you can't say you love God and you're still doing the same things over and over and over again. You're still messing up in the same areas over and over and over again. And yes, I know we're not perfect, but we shouldn't be perfect for the things that, you know, we don't know about. That's the whole point of not being perfect. But for the things that you do know about, we got to do better. There's no excuses. You know better. And to know to do good and not to do it, you're going to be whooped by God. And that doesn't feel good at all. But then even in that whooping, he's going to show his love. He's going to say, you know what? I'm going to pick your hand up and I'm going to hold you. And I'm going to let you know that even though you messed up, I still love you. And I'm going to show you what it looks like to turn around and to see the light. And yes, we can turn back around and we can go the other way, because he gives you free will and he still gives you that choice. But that does not mean that, yes, you have free will. You're supposed to do what you want. And that doing what you want isn't always the right thing, because we got other people talking in our ear. But you should always do, if you say you love God, you should always do what's going to benefit God. Everything, eat the what's going to benefit God. Like, not in a way that's, you know, literally when it comes to eating, but what's going to, because this is his temple. This is what the Lord needs to live in. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit needs to live in. And if you're eating the wrong things, then you can love God, because you don't care about what you're putting in your body where the Holy Spirit is living. Does that make sense? I hope it does, y'all. I really hope it does. And so I'm going to read that last scripture that I have, 1 John and 4, the one that I said I was going to begin with, 7 through 21. I'm going to read that in the next one, in the next episode, part 2. But I really hope that you all are learning something. Like I said, this episode was to just break it down, to talk to y'all, to get an understanding on a few things when it comes to God's love, because we never want to take God's love for granted. All we always say we love God, and it's this whole social media thing, but it's like we don't truly love God because our actions are not showing it. Our actions. I can't wait to get into episode part 2 for this episode, because it's gonna really help break it down about the love of God and how we treat other people. And we don't want to be hypocrites. We don't want to be hypocrites. You don't want somebody to look at you and say, ooh, child, that is not the love of God. You don't want that. You don't want that. Or even in general, that's not love. Because if somebody look at you and say, they tune their nose up at you. And don't get me wrong, people go, you can't please everybody. People going to do that. But if they just doing it because they actually have a reason and you're not doing something right, then check yourself. Check your heart. And see, God, well, do I love you? Because if I loved you, I'd be acting like it, and they would be able to see it. People shouldn't question whether or not you're a Christian. They shouldn't question whether or not you love God. excuse me, they shouldn't question whether or not you're living right. That should never be a question. They should look at you and say, wow, it's just something about you. When Jesus was walking on this earth, they just knew. They just knew. He didn't even have to, see, he didn't have to tell nobody you're not living right. They knew when he spoke. They would say something like, you know, my Lord. Or they would say, you know, Jesus, is that you? Yes, it was. Even the sinner man knew it was him. So that's how people should see us, view us. We should be able to see, they should be able to see the love of God in us. Somebody that don't even believe in God should be able to see the love of God. They feel your love so much, they try to figure out who, where is that coming from? I don't believe in God, but I feel your love. That's what they should be able to say. And so that is what we strive for on a daily basis, y'all. I have so much more in store for you all. I pray God continues to do great and mighty things in you all's life. I think I did mention this already, but I do want to do more. I do want to be more socially active on all my socials. If you all need me, I want to do something where we go live and I can get like a live experience with you all. So you all give me feedback on here or however you're listening. DM me and let me know your thoughts on things y'all want to talk about or things that we can do if we go live or something like. Because I want to make sure that this is not just, it's not just this over this microphone, okay, and not just through the camera. But I want to make sure that we go live. Let's talk about it. Let's have face-to-face interaction, or let's do something where, you know, you all can comment and I can speak based off the comments and questions and concerns. I just want to make this like very, I'll say a vulnerable place where you all can feel comfortable. I really truly desire that. That's all I want, is for you all to feel God's love the way I feel his love and the way I have seen him, because he has showed up mighty in my life and I love him so much. I really do. And I want you all to be in the same way and have the same desire. So I love you all. You all stay blessed. You all stay protected, covered under the blood of Jesus. I pray your protection. I pray you are able to withstand troubles and tribulations and trials. And I pray God overwhelms you with his love even the more. And you all stay tuned for part two for episode 11, 12 maybe next week on Wednesday. And I will see you all in the next episode. I love you.